Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Continuing our message series called Everyday Hunger. Who's been a little extra hungry this month? Hopefully. All right, we're stirring the hunger up. And we've been talking about worship, where worship is so much more than music. It's turning our attention to Jesus in our daily life. It's not preference, it's sacrifice. Amen? Anybody been worshiping a little bit more? Maybe it doesn't sound like music, but it's like, whoop, I'm turning my attention, right? Reading the Word, actually letting the Word read you, right, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we gave out a handout called Good Soil from the parable of the good soil, and it's a tool that can help you read the Bible in a deeper way. What's really special is this past youth group, we actually made a youth version of that, and every teen got their own version as well. So if you've got a teenager in the house, they also have some good soil. Service. Last Sunday, Pastor Caleb preached on no matter what our area of influence or our position, we are called to serve the world around us just like Esther. Amen? And what's special is, I don't know if you guys follow us on Facebook. Our Facebook hasn't been very active, but recently we have changed that up. And so now during the week, you will catch a few different clips from Sunday service of the message. And that's a really easy way to share it on your wall and to spread the gospel on your Facebook. So I encourage you, if you're not following us on Facebook, on I think it's Thrive Church NY. There are a lot of Thrive Churches. But Thrive Church NY with a little fire logo orange. I encourage you to do that because it's a very easy way to just spread the message. Amen? All right. So daily habits shape your life more than your best intentions, right? Daily habits shape your life more than your best intentions. And it's why Jesus walked with his disciples for 3 years of everyday hands-on practical learning. He didn't just come down, do an hour service, and say, good luck. Right? That's not what he did. He walked with the disciples. They did life together. And that's part of the reason why groups are so powerful, because we're starting to get to know each other more. I tell you what, the groups that I've been in this semester, this winter, spring round of groups or whatever, it's been really powerful and it's been transformational. So if you're not in a group, I encourage you to get in the next round. But it's how we do everyday hands-on practical learning. So our key verse is, give us today our daily bread, Matthew 6:11. Everyone say Matthew 6:11. This is like the shortest verse that has ever been our key verse. And I don't know if you've caught on yet, but normally when we do key verses, we will look at every word in the key verse. We'll kind of do a deep dive into the root meaning. But we ran out of words because there's not that many in here. It's like bread, give, right, daily. We've all looked at those. how many know, though, it's a daily bread, so we can look at it again. But what I wanted to do today was actually zoom out and realize that give us our daily bread is part of a prayer. It's not a menu order, right? It's not a request like, hey, give me my daily bread. It's actually a prayer to our Heavenly Father. And that's the context that this key verse is given. And we find it in Matthew 6 in the context of Sermon on the Mount. And then in Luke chapter 11, when the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? Who has ever asked, how do I pray? If you haven't, you probably will, right? How do I pray? Even if you've been walking with God for 30 years, there comes a point, again, where you're like, but how do I pray? How can my prayer life look deeper? Or how do I start to pray? Or how do I pray out loud? Or how do I pray silently, right? And so we, like the disciples, are asking, how do we pray this morning? But what I like is that because it's in Matthew 6 and Luke 11 in slightly different contexts, it hints that Jesus said this prayer multiple times, right? How many know Jesus prayed? I was going to say he was a man of prayer, because he was. He was fully God, fully man. But he was constantly praying. He was constantly in communion with Jesus, with God. I got confused there. Jesus was with Jesus, but he was with his Heavenly Father, right? The Trinity. Praise Jesus. They're all one. But I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. Sometimes we think we are too busy to pray, but that is a great mistake, for praying is a saving of time. Sometimes we think we are too busy to pray. Whoever thought they were too busy this week to pray, if we're really honest, but that is a great mistake, for praying is a saving of time. Cultivating everyday hunger cannot be separated from cultivating a prayer life. And I think that's really why our key verse for the entire month of everyday hunger is found in a prayer. Because without a prayer, we've got nothing, right? How many have ever said, all we can do is pray now, right? All that's left is prayer. I actually said that, I think it was this week, and I was like, but that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Let's just pray, right? Have you ever said that, like, I guess we can just pray? Why is that hopeless? Do we know who we're praying to? Right? So we're going to start out this morning by looking at who we're praying to, because prayer is not the goal. Jesus is. Amen. We don't pray to pray. We pray to God. Amen. And a lot of people can pray to a lot of different things, right? A lot of people can pray to a lot of different things, but it doesn't mean anything, because who we pray to defines what happens in our prayer life, not how we pray, right? It's not a performance-based habit. It's a Jesus-based habit. Amen. So I think if you've known me for a while, you know some of this, but if you don't, I wanted to just review some of my background before pastoring was all about travel. I love to travel. I haven't traveled in a little bit, unfortunately, but Brian and I got to travel to England and do worship there, and it's just been amazing. So I wanted to just outline a couple of the different places that I've gotten to experience prayer that are cool. So I've got to go to monasteries in Ireland. How many know St. Patrick's Day just happened, right? And I got to play my violin on the Hill of Slane, where St. Patrick lit his first fire. If you don't know what that is, you can look up the story. It was really cool. It was very powerful. And it was basically like a castle ruins. It was very cold. Not my fan, but it was pretty. Churches in Greek islands. This is what I was singing this morning, that song, Have It All. Isn't that powerful? If you're not used to worshiping long and you got a little uncomfortable, that's okay. How many knows that we watch really long movies, or we read really long books, or we get stuck in really long lines of traffic? We can stay a little long in his presence together, amen? But that song says, I actually don't know what it says. It's a new song. They introduced it when I wasn't here. Hold on. Here it is. Jesus, have your worth, your due, your sum, the praise of every nation, tribe, and tongue. Let all that has been made glorify your name, Jesus, have it all. Amen? Here you go, Caleb. Thank you. And my one memory is being in a church in the island of Lesbos, where a lot of refugees come, and we were crammed in this little tiny church. It was maybe like the size of like one of our rows or something, maybe both the middle rows. And it was like cement walls and cement floors, and there were benches. And everybody was worshiping. There were all these refugees from all around the world, but everyone was singing in their own language. It was special. I'll never forget it. I think it's what heaven sounds like, although I would have understood them. I didn't understand what was going on. But let me tell you, the sound of worship in all the languages. And you know these people have nothing, most of them. Either they are refugees or they're missionaries that gave up everything to be with them. It was powerful. So that's in Greek islands. Prayer houses on Mount of Olives and across Israel. That's powerful. So there are 24/7 prayer houses. There's one on the Mount of Olives where you can go and you can pray and see where Jesus walked. It's very powerful. A 1,000-year-old cathedral in Winchester. 3 a.m., if you've heard the story, the birds were singing with us. Brian and I got to sing Suddenly. It's a very old song we wrote here about Pentecost. And I mean, that was heaven. It was just amazing. They were reverberating, the birds were chirping at that and snores, because if you pray all night, someone's going to snore. But I focus on the birds. And it was amazing just to worship God. Thatched huts in Malawi, right? Dirt floors, thatched huts, kind of sweaty. You don't really know what bugs are there. I try not to think about it. And let me tell you, the power in that place could have blown the thatch hut off the roof. Amen? We got to talk to our pastors over there this past week. They're going to send us a video testimony that we'll be playing shortly, as soon as we get it. a prayer house in an Irish countryside. It was this little tiny room, and it had all these different ways to pray in it, and you kind of go in, and it kind of looked like Freeville. You know, you walk in, but it was Irish, so it was cooler, but it was like Freeville. How about a chapel in Scotland during the Fringe Festival? I believe that's what they call it. It's the largest arts festival, I think, in the world. I'm pretty sure. So there's a lot going on there. Very creative, artistic, open-minded things happening. And we got to worship while people were doing street evangelism, just loving on people, sharing Jesus and God's love with people. And I tell you what, it was like we went to heaven. Judith and I got to worship, and she had her flags, and I was singing. I lost all my music in my luggage that was lost in another country. I had no music for 2 hours, just a Bible and Jesus, and it was enough. It was amazing. The streets of Salem, Massachusetts on Halloween night. This is one of my favorite stories. We went on a mission trip with another church, and let me tell you, everybody was out that night. I mean, everybody, right? Everything and everybody. And we got to be on the street in these tents, and we got to prophesy and speak life over people. And there were people coming into the tents, witches and all sorts of things that were coming into these tents, and they had dreams of a man in white, and they were getting saved on the streets on Halloween night. There were physical healings happening. People were getting restored, and they'd come there because they were so spiritually open, but they didn't realize Jesus was meeting them. He was knocking on the door of their open hearts. Amen? Salem. And then houses of prayer in Cornell. There's a house of prayer in Cornell that we got to worship in over the years. And then in California as well. And then right here in this place, Pastor Brian and I really, our whole ministry and our whole heart for ministry, before we were pastors, I wouldn't be a pastor, he wouldn't either, if we hadn't have had extended worship times way back in the youth group days. We got in trouble with the church leadership for worshiping too long. Right here. Let me tell you, if a teenager wants to worship all night, I'm not calling them out. God bless the people that did. That's all right. They're with Jesus now. It's all good, right? They're worshiping for a long time, right? We're all good. But I get their concerns. However, it was amazing, and we would worship all night. It was phenomenal. So worship and prayer. How many know it looks different? And it looks like thatched huts, it looks like prayer houses, it looks like cathedrals, it looks like cement huts, it looks like all languages, English, it looks like silence. It can look like so many different things because it's not about what we're doing, it's about who we're talking to. Amen? If you get one thing out of today, it's about who we are talking to when we pray. Amen? All right. So Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. I'm just going to read these quick. Prince of Peace, filled with wisdom, stature, favor. He knows what we go through, has been fully tempted but without sin. He's got holes in his hands, his feet, and his side. He was despised, rejected, acquainted with grief. He heals the sick. He delivers the oppressed. He made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He welcomed and welcomes the kids, the broken, the lost, the rich, the poor, the hated, and the loved. He is not an agenda. He's not a religion. His hairs, it says in Revelation, the hairs of his head are white, like wool, like snow. His eyes are like flame of fire. His feet were like the burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. His appearance is like lightning, and his clothing white as snow in Matthew. He has destroyed the devil's works. That's not a question mark. Amen. It's a period. All authority is in his name on heaven and earth, right? He is praying for you right now before the Father. He's coming back again. Can we just say Jesus? Jesus. That's who we're praying to. All right? If you need a reminder, don't remind yourself of your problems. Remind your problems of who Jesus is. Amen? It's so powerful. So prayer is not the final goal, just like serving isn't the final goal. Thank God, right? Because if serving was the final goal, I'd be like, why is this toilet, right? Or why do I got to be nice to my coworker or whatever it is, right? But serving isn't the final goal. Jesus is. Amen? And it for the joy set before him, he pressed through, right? There's something beyond the habit. There's something beyond the discipline. There's something beyond that we're living for. It's called eternity, and he's coming back. I don't think we talk about that enough. He's coming back, amen? And we're going there. All right, so that's my intro, and we're supposed to end in 10 minutes, so everybody just take a moment of prayer. We've got a lot to get through here. We're going to go. We're going to get there. Are we good? All right. Worship went long. Jesus is long, right? It's eternity. So here we go. What is the first thing that comes to mind when I say prayer? Don't shout it out. But we did a prayer seminar here a couple months ago, and we actually filled a whiteboard. And let me tell you, the first whiteboard was not positive, right? So it was like confusing, right? Or, scary or boring. And these were mature Christians in the room, okay? So if that's what your thought is, don't feel bad. Like, this is, we're all here. But some, exciting, ethereal, comforting, practical, long, right? Short, extrovert, introvert, right? I don't know, if you're an extrovert, I always think of prayer more introverted. But with my introverted friends, I think they think maybe prayer sometimes can be more extroverted. And I think sometimes that's kind of like the enemy's like, well, it's for extroverts. And then the extroverts, well, it's actually a very lonely thing. It's more for introverts, right? Prayer is not a personality type. Amen? And God knows how we're wired. So prayer is defined as a solemn request or talking to someone for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. It is intimate. It is not transactional, right? We're not going to God to submit a transaction. We are talking, right? We're giving and receiving. How many want to be in a relationship that's one-sided? That's not going to get you very far. If you're in a romantic relationship that's one-sided, that's it. If it isn't, you might want to consider some support or help, right, to maybe make it not one-sided, because a relationship that's healthy is given a flow, right? It's a flow. Amen? I love the hymn, In the Garden. Anyone know that song? That's my favorite hymn. I can't get through it without crying. I love that. And I was looking up the history of it, and it's like, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, right? It always makes my voice sound bad. I don't know why. It must be the melody or something. But it's a beautiful song. And it was actually written to honor both the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane. Isn't that beautiful? That was actually the heart of the author, which is maybe why I moved so much when I sing it. So I wanted to do it this morning, but we didn't quite get that. But I encourage you to listen to it. Most of the time, whether we realize it or not, our prayer habits and our viewpoints will fall only into two areas, built on the foundation of the new covenant, right, resurrection of Jesus that we're going to celebrate soon, or the old covenant between the fall of man and the cross, right? And it can sound like, you know, I'm praying from God's presence, or I'm praying to get God's presence, right, to gain it, to earn it. Or I'm praying as a son and daughter of God with an inheritance, or I'm praying to get God's attention, right? Or I realize one word, just the name of Jesus, has all authority in it. Or I think all my long prayers, I need to have all these eloquent words, right? And it's all about how long and how much I can pray that will get the result I want. Or one is invitation and one is obligation, right? So one is slipping back before the cross, and one is realizing we live the resurrection covenant of Jesus. Amen. Nothing can separate us from his love. Prayer doesn't save us from being dependent on God. That was said at the prayer seminar. I thought that was so powerful. Have you ever prayed just so you can be free? I realize that's like a sneaky thing. I think I've done that. Like, God, if you would just get me this, then I wouldn't have to be so dependent. I wouldn't have to be so reliant on you. Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be a little self-sufficient, right? If we're really honest, am I just the only honest one here this morning? I don't know. I'm confessing my sins at the pulpit, but this is real. Like, we pray a prayer of surrender so I don't have to surrender again, right? If we're really honest. Ooh, that's not how it works, because Jesus was even dependent on the Father. He says he only did what he saw the Father do. That's the definition of healthy dependence on God. Only doing what we see the Father doing. But in order to do that, we better be praying. You got to see what the Father's doing to do what the Father does. Right? It's faith. It's a faith walk. But we've got to be tuned in. We got to be aware. Amen? Jesus died so we could once again come to the garden and walk and talk and share joy with him. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? I love that. The only way to know what our Father is doing is through prayer. So I just want to highlight just a couple ways Jesus prayed, and then in the early church we prayed too. Is there a way to turn the heat down? Like, I know I'm pregnant, but it feels like it's 150 in here. Is it? It's just me. Wonderful. Okay. Why not? Wow. All right. Pray using God's word. I'll just keep going. Someone pray for me. Matthew 4, we see pray using God's word. One of the most powerful ways to pray is to pray using the word of God directly. I love this. We don't see in Matthew 4 Jesus fighting the devil and shouting at him. I hate to burst a bubble here. He's not shouting at the devil. He's not like karate chopping. He's not yelling. He's not screaming. He is knowing the word of God, and he is speaking it with authority. And what happens? The devil flees. Amen? You want to know what warfare looks like? You know the word. You speak the word. And the devil cannot stay where the word of God is. That's not a fight. The cross won, right? We take authority. We speak the word of God, right? That's what Jesus did. Let's not fight a battle Jesus didn't even model, right? We speak the word of God, and the enemy flees. Pray because someone has asked us to, even when it's inconvenient. John chapter 2, Jesus' first miracle at Cana happened because his mom put him on the spot, right? There it is. How many have been asked to pray and you're like, this is the most inconvenient time? Like, no, this is not the right time to pray. But God's like, excuse me, right? And so pray even when it's inconvenient. Jesus models that. Pray in the process. This is the most, pray in the process. John 11, 35, prayer didn't deny Jesus the process of emotion he was in with Lazarus, but the process he was in didn't prevent his prayer. Ooh, Jesus never worshiped the process. He always worshiped the Father, but it didn't mean that he didn't have to walk through the process. It says Jesus wept. Amen? So sometimes we gotta weep, but we don't worship the weeping. We don't worship the weeping, but we do walk through it with Jesus. Amen? That's so important. Pray with honesty and surrender. Matthew 26, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Be real, but invite a real God to move in your life, right? That's what we say here. Hey, be real in this place, but if you're going to be real, get ready for a real God. That's not a threat. That is the most amazing gift known to mankind. Amen? Pray for healing and deliverance for others. Over and over again, Jesus healed and delivered people. He interceded on their behalf and does it to this very moment. Amen? So pray for one another. Pray to build relationship with God. It says in Luke chapter 5, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Isn't that powerful? So if someone was too busy to pray, it was Jesus. He was already God, right, on earth. But even Jesus took time away to pray. Pray in action. How many know Jesus didn't just go on a prayer retreat? He came back and he lived out his prayer in action. Right. Amen? So if you're going to pray, get ready to put legs to the prayers, like I always say, right? Put some legs to those prayers and let's walk out. It doesn't mean you're the solution, but it might mean that you are to participate in the solution, right? Or at least be a hope releaser in it. In the early church, we see praying and gathering together corporately, but also in homes, right? So praying together on a Sunday, but also in groups is how we would model it after them. Pray to prophesy life, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort, right? New Testament prophecy, encouragement, comfort, and strengthening. I know I'm going through these quickly. It's kind of like a wash, but I kind of wrote it like a wash. I don't normally preach this way, but man, I got into this. I was going to write like a book, because how many know prayer is a big subject? So, just see what Holy Spirit's highlighting to you as we talk about this. Praying in tongues. If you have more of a charismatic background, maybe you're more familiar with that. If you don't, it's something to explore. But praying in the Spirit, we see in 1 Corinthians 14:4, a heavenly language often given during a Holy Spirit baptism, right? Speak directly with God and build yourself up. It's also in Acts 2:4 seen as a gift where you can supernaturally know another language. So I know of stories of missionaries who have gone to a country, not known the language, and spoken it supernaturally or understood it, and they shouldn't have. That's an amazing gift, isn't that? That's an incredible gift. So that's a prayer gift there. Pray with listening. This is the last one. But if we don't pray with listening, then all we're doing is talking. How many have talked to God a lot and forgotten to listen? And then walked away and been like, God, why didn't you show me what to do? Right? Anybody? And God's like, oh, right? Just pause for just a second. Let me get a word in, right? Hearing God's word, God's voice, right? Rhema is the audible voice of God, or not the written word, right? Logos is written. Rhema is the other. Hearing God's voice. And my goodness, we're gonna preach more on how to hear God's voice soon. But the very short version, very short, which is more just to stir up curiosity and hunger, it can sometimes be a feeling, a sensing or a knowing, a hearing or a seeing. I've heard what I think is the audible voice of God only in my dreams. It's woken me up a couple times. But I've never heard it outside of nighttime. But I often see something, right, or feel something. But it's important when we do that to line it up with the word of God, right, and make sure that it's all in order with who he is. So in John 5:19, it says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, right? Prayer reminds us that we're part of a bigger story. Amen? We're part of a bigger story. How many have forgotten that there's more going on than your life? Sometimes your life can be so knotted up, or there's so much going on that we start to feel like everything revolves around us. But prayer reminds us that God's up to something bigger. He's up to something more intricate than we could ever imagine, but also bigger. And he's writing history, and he's in the business of redemption. Amen. And so prayer reminds us of that. We're going to do a whole message series on God as the storyteller, not a fairy tale storyteller, but as our storyteller and writer and the author of our lives soon. Amen. I preached for an hour at the other church, so I am reining it in right now. I think I got used to an hour. Uh-oh. Okay, should I just keep going? All right. It's snowing. We got nowhere to go. It's not even sunny out, all right? All right. Okay, I'm going to keep going for just a minute. Is that okay? If this is your first time here, that's not normal. I promise. I'm not like the pastor that always says that every week. I really am not. All right. The world around us needs a church filled with the power and the wisdom of God. Amen? The power and the wisdom. A lot of different denominations will either focus more on wisdom or on power, but we need power and wisdom. How many know power without wisdom is dangerous? But wisdom without power can get you stuck, right? And we don't need a stuck church, and we don't need a dangerous church in that sense, but we need a powerful, wise church. And that's actually what I spoke last week about more. And we get power and we get wisdom through our prayer life in the Holy Spirit, right? There are problems around us that need God-sized solutions. We don't need to become part of the problem as the church. The church is to bring solutions to the earth. Amen? So if your discernment gift is only picking up problems, you might not be discerning as much as you think, because the discernment gift in the Holy Spirit will also be able to really press into the Holy Spirit and see solutions. Amen? Heaven-sized solutions. If we enter God's courts with thanksgiving, whose courts do we enter with complaining? Has anyone ever heard that? I think we've said that a couple times, but man, that puts you in your place for complaining, right? Jesus had every right to sit back, judge, and complain about the mess of humanity, and instead he decided to come in and bring a solution to a problem that he did not cause. Amen? Why would we feel like our calling is different? And a prayer life activates our hearts to see beyond the problem, to see beyond the mess, to Jesus, Amen? If you don't see the problem in heaven, that's our cue to pray on earth as it is in heaven and put legs to that prayer, right? Often the biggest challenges a city faces are not the unbelievers, but the believers with unbelief, not responding to what they see their Father doing. We do not want to be a roadblock for Jesus. We want to be a solution bringer and a solution releaser. Amen? How often do we sit back and judge what Jesus died to save, heal, and redeem in our own lives, in our own homes, looking in the mirror? Let's start there, and then we can go out. Amen? Jesus wants to restore, right? So my question is, what problems do you find yourself complaining about and realize that you are called to pray for? What's a problem that's been getting under your skin, either in your own life or in the world around? Why don't we bring it to Jesus and start pressing into prayer? What if we started putting more energy into praying than complaining? Right? Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet? I have a second page, and I'm going to somehow, I think, preach it next week. I don't know how, but we will combine it into the next habit. But just to whet your appetite just a little bit, it actually has to do with a Hungarian friend of mine who is a psychologist I've known my whole life. And we did a book study on the power of prayer that's written by Dr. Pablo Martinez. And he actually divides, he looks at four different personality types and the strengths and the weaknesses that go into a prayer life depending on your personality type. It's really cool. Let me just do a quick overview. Intuitive. So think about which one you are, and I'll close on this because this is really important. So intuitive likes total freedom and loves to go into the spiritual realm to pray. Anyone's like, yeah, freedom, right? The weakness is they can shun methods and they can become ungrounded from reality. But the strength is they have vision for the future and they aren't locked into materialism or methods. Okay? Sensation. So that's a type of personality. They find it easy to talk to God as a friend and are spontaneous and childlike. Anything can trigger a spontaneous prayer moment. Look at the sunset. Let's pray, right? The weakness can be lack of discipline and lack of perseverance. But the strength can be spontaneous, heartfelt prayer, right? Impromptu prayer. The feeling type, they like symbols, metaphors in their prayer life. They find it easy to call God Father, Good Shepherd, and they have a longing for intimacy with God. That's like the key to that drives their prayer life. But their weakness is they base their closeness to God often on feelings or a mood, which can change. But their strength is that they are very concerned about concrete situations in society. So they have a big compassion for people and the issues of today. And then the last type is a thinking type. They love to search for truth and meaning more than emotion. And prayer is more of a mental activity. They don't care as much about feeling God, but getting new spiritual ideas. So some may like to journal more, right? Any journalers here that like to talk to God, writing it down? The weakness is praying involves relationship, which can be harder for this type. And the strength is that they're very disciplined and they're methodical. So they love order and are phenomenal prayer partners because they like to write lists. Anybody a list writer in the, that's you. All right, here we go. I have this written out and I'm happy to share that more with you. It's not religious, it's not the Bible, but I thought it was helpful because Jesus knows how you're wired. And oftentimes we'll define prayer by one of those and we'll be like, well, I'm not wired to pray then. Right? If it's all freedom and I like order, what do we do? Right? Or if it's all spontaneous and I like discipline or whatever it is, sometimes they can collide. And so what I encourage you to do is to think of your strength and how you like to pray, most easy, right? Maybe you like to look at the sunset, whatever it is. And then think about how you don't like to pray. And this week, maybe try how you don't like to pray. Get a little stretched. All right, Jesus wired us, but he didn't wire us to stay stuck either. He wired us to explore our design, right? And so I encourage you to do that. And the handout this morning is all about that. I called it a prayer menu. It's a really weird name. I know you're like, what did she hand out? it describes all these different ways to pray. And it was loosely based on the hour that changed the world and also one other prayer resource from the prayer seminar. But we adjusted it a little bit. You could spend, I think it was 6 minutes on every stop and pray for an hour, if I did my math right. But my husband's an accountant, so not me. I think it adds up to an hour. Or you can just be like, you know what? I've never interceded for others. Or I've never prayed with scripture, right? Or I've never listened. And again, it's not based on our performance. Focus on who God is and come before him. Amen? So that's what this is. I encourage you. You can also download it on thriveny.org/connect. It's very practical. And at the bottom, there are also a couple other resources. Like, we have a prayer ministry here if you want to get personal breakthrough, if you keep hitting a wall of bitterness or something from your past. We have a trained ministry team here to do that. There's an online prayer wall. There are a couple other resources that are really cool. And so, again, today's sermon and everything was a little bit more of like this. It was like a drive-by. So we probably all got a little bit of jet lag after. But I hope that you... If you only get one thing, you remember that who we pray to matters more than our performance. But don't get stuck in one way of prayer. Think of all the ways Jesus prayed and how we're designed, and be stretched this week. Try a new way to pray on your own or with someone at a group or whatever, all right? So Jesus, right now, we just come before you. And God, we thank you that you have wired us, whether we are more impromptu, whether we're more relationship-based, whether we're more methodical, whether we're more into freedom, whatever it looks like for us individually. Father, I ask right now that you would release a supernatural hunger to be in communion with you, in conversation with you this week. Father, that when we've seen a problem and it has stopped us from praying, or when we've seen a process and it stopped us from praying, I ask right now, God, that you would pull us through and we would actually pray through the process and pray through the problem. Whether it's in our resources, our relationships, our work, our home life, our parenting, whatever season it is, God, we honor you and we pray to you alone. In Jesus' name. Make us a praying church more than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.